This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
Time it is in London and knowing what time it is in the United States minus GMT.
Right, exactly.
But that's the thing is at work, I don't even need the times. I just have all the different time clocks. Wow, this is going to be a fun one. It is episode 209 of the Nerdcast. And as we're telling in the first 30 seconds, not only can I not tell time, I can't even talk today.
Can't speak goods.
It is the Nerdcast brought to you by Geek Garage. Head on over to geek-garage.com to check out some of the coolest geek-themed vehicles all across the country and now across the world even. Some pretty awesome cars over there. We love some of those vehicles. I like seeing some of them too, including the Rickmobile from Rick and Morty agreed to jump on there on Geek Garage. So that should be on there soon, if not on there already, as well as plenty of other ones. I didn't know there was so many freaking Jeeps from Jurassic Park out there that people owned. And
dude, if you had a Jeep, wouldn't you make it a Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. But the thing is that they're all part of a group and they have them individually numbered and like have their like tag name on there too. So they're all different numbers in this group with their like tag name, like abbreviation and everything. So pretty interesting. But you can check out a lot of them over at Geek Garage. And we're back in the studio. Bob's not here because Bob's hanging out with a bunch of Chief fans down at the football game. But we do have Adam, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, all here. Tyler showing off Sunday fun day with his Chiefs shirt. It is Sunday, so something we're about to talk about that I want to talk about first and get out of the way is probably going to be irrelevant by the time this comes out. But Fortnite, none of us play it, so not a huge deal for us. But they announced last week that they were going to have a Go Dark event on Sunday. And they said literally they were going to just shut everything down. And I don't think anybody took it seriously until as of right now, as of recording, there is no Fortnite anywhere to be found anywhere. Like it is, everything is gone. And according to reports, people that were in the middle of a game when it went down were apparently sucked into a black hole and then the screen went black.
Checks out.
So rumors, of course, is they're about to launch a whole new season because Fortnite kind of rolls out in seasons. Those seasons are new maps, new gear, new stuff you can pay them money for, obviously, all that kind of stuff. So rumor was that it was going to be a huge, massive update. So they thought they would, you know, make it fun by, I guess, getting some press behind it when they take it down for a few hours on Sunday. But I don't know. I'm sure it'll be back up one way or the other by the time this podcast airs. But really interesting that they just, I mean, that's a cash cow. And they just took it down for 6 hours in prime game time on the weekend. Like, that's an interesting move in itself.
Well, but like you said, though, if it is indeed going to be a new season and going to roll into other stuff, it's basically free advertising for something you had to do anyway. How many people are talking about it? I mean, we never talk about Fortnite.
Not on this podcast, at least.
Never talk about Fortnite here. And we led with it. So, you know.
Yeah, apparently they...
Pretty smart move by somebody, I think.
They just blew up the world, and now it's a big black hole. So
yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I feel like it's a marketing thing because pretty much every other online game, if they're going to have to do maintenance, they always do it on like a Tuesday, which is typically like the lowest traffic day of the week. Doing it on the weekends when people actually have time to play the game is an interesting move.
That's where I find it kind of funny. I mean, obviously, they're not going to just pull it and take it away. They've got too many contracts and too much money. That thing is a money machine, man. That is insane amounts of money. And so again, it'll be back up. And good point, Adam. Like 209 episodes of the Nerdcast, and this is probably the first time we've even said the word Fortnite, let alone had a whole story on it. The only other times that if you find it in previous episodes is me mentioning my son plays Fortnite. That's it. So
were trying to talk about something that happened 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I feel like we would use that phrase.
Fair enough. But since we're opening with gaming, Tyler, you got a little news for us on what's going on with the Blizzard fiasco here?
I mean, I don't know how much you guys followed this at all, but this last weekend, right after the NBA managed to put their step in it with China.
Not just the NBA. It was the Houston Rockets.
GM of the Houston Rockets.
The general manager tweets something.
So for those, I mean, obviously the NBA has been trying over the last, you know, decade to really, really grow the brand in China to the point where there's like an NBA, a China NBA league. There, all the games are broadcast there. And the Rockets especially have a very tight relationship with the Chinese Basketball Association due to the fact that Yao Ming played there. And then this last week,
he's back in China in charge of the development.
He is at best a figurehead, I think, by most accounts, but he is a part of it.
Quotes in charge of it, yes.
Yeah. But the GM of the Rockets tweeted a 10-word tweet in support of the protesters in Hong Kong. And things got real ugly after that. So to the point where like the NBA was disavowing him and like the Rockets were throwing him under the bus. CCTV in China was threatening to stop broadcasting NBA games. Nike was pulling all Houston Rockets gear from Nike stores in China. Like, it got real ugly. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, made a statement that did not placate anyone, then made another statement that sort of placated people, but not really. And in response, Blizzard said, "Hold my beer, watch this." And so, for those of you who don't, there's a lot of games that Blizzard currently has on their platform. One of them is Hearthstone, which is a competitive trading card game that people play competitively. There was the Grandmasters tournament in Asia was happening. There is a player known by Blitzchung who was playing, and after his match, he was being interviewed and proceeded to make a comment in support of the protesters in Hong Kong. And Blizzard immediately went scorched earth, banned him from the game for a year, retroactively rescinded all of his prize money, fired the two streamers who were interviewing him on air, and then proceeded to never speak of it again. And the internet lost it. And everyone who follows anything Blizzard, not even Hearthstone. So like, if you went on Reddit for like a 72-hour period, the front page of Reddit was like 12 posts about Hong Kong and Blizzard and China. Like the WoW subreddit, the Hearthstone subreddit, the Diablo subreddit, the Overwatch subreddit. People were turning Mei, who's an Overwatch character, who's from China, into an icon for Taiwanese and Hong Kong independence. It got real ugly. The biggest part of it was less about their response and more the fact that they went, like a normal response, if it had just, because it, there is a rule in the Hearthstone competitive whatever, like, hey, don't say shit that you wouldn't want to say. And if they had just like given him a ban or something, things would have gone smoothly, but they went full on scorched earth, fired even the interviewers, which makes it think it was very much a response to, we're sorry, China, please don't come after us preemptively. To the point where like Blizzard employees were walking out of the building and protesting, and there's a giant Warcraft statue in the front of Blizzard HQ that has their company values on it, in bronze on the ground. Two of their company values include think globally and every voice matters. Employees went out and like covered them up with paper and then protested in front of the statue. The weirdest thing about the whole thing is while this is blowing up to the point where like my mother was asking me about it because she doesn't know anything about Blizzard. It was on the New York Times, the LA. I mean, it was everywhere. The weirdest thing about it is Blizzard proceeded to remain radio silent for like the entire week. And then finally the president came out and said, yeah, well, we're sort of sorry. It didn't have anything to do with China, but it just had to do with the rules. But we're going to give those two guys their job back. We're going to give him his money back, and we're going to shorten the ban to 6 months. So,
right. They went back and just did what they should have done to begin with, and nobody would have said anything about it.
If that had just been the punishment, right, I think everyone would have been fine. But the fact that they went so over the top made it clear that this literally has nothing to do with you enforcing the rules. This is using the rules to let China know, please don't stop us from...
Don't treat us like the NBA. Don't treat us like the NBA.
Don't shut off our servers, please.
There was another part where the Blizzard China account on Weibo, which is like Chinese Twitter sort of social media site, posted a different comment in Mandarin that basically said the opposite of all the things their president said. Basically, like, we would never let anyone disrespect the great country of China. Like, just a full-on, like... this is horrible and we're sorry kind of thing. And so anyway, it's kind of blown over now. It only became as big a story as it did is because Blizzard went to 11 immediately and then went radio silent for the better part of a week. But so, it was interesting to see how quickly it turned into like a thing. And I think the NBA thing right before that helped. And then all these other companies, like people who used to work at Blizzard who worked on Vanilla Blitz, like were boycotting the company. One of their top streamers for Hearthstone boycotted the company. People like boycott Blizzard became a trending hashtag on Twitter. It was something else.
It was, and it kind of all, not specifically around the Blizzard thing, but I mean, this whole China thing's not blowing over very quickly, and rightfully so. We don't have any listeners in China, and we're not airing on CCTV, so we can safely say their government's a bit controlling. We'll go with that. They're like the mom who's going to make sure you don't go out and have your own freedom. And I think on the NBA side, initially I thought it was handled well. Hey, he's not in a position. We shouldn't be putting those comments out publicly. It's been deleted. It's been retracted. However, he's not going to be punished because he has the freedom of speech here in the United States. China does not like that at all. It comes down even harder to the point where you mentioned the commissioner of the NBA. He flew out to China to like meet and do all this, albeit they were having some preseason games there too. So he had more of a reason to go. But it got crazy. And then, yeah, Blizzard being involved and then the fact that Blizzard's own character becomes the mascot for the opposite. But yeah, I mean, you talk about the one child rule forever in China. That's now got it a 2-to-1 ratio for men over there. There's a lot of video games happening. So Blizzard does not want to lose that money right now. And this is interesting. It's crazy. It's also great. Like, we've talked a lot more politically as Project Nerd as a whole. And it's great to see, you know, China is definitely one of those countries that, I mean, depending on how you define revolution and some change, there's definitely some stuff needed there. So it's great to see people standing up and things there. So with, you know, the jeopardy of being dropped by Blizzard here and the NBA being blacklisting us, I don't know. I think the protests are interesting and good, and we'll see where all that goes. But definitely crazy, like you said, because people, yeah, that don't know anything about Fortnite, we're talking about it. People that don't know anything about Blizzard, you know, like you said, your mom calling you all this stuff. So video games are in the spotlight there, huh?
When you've managed to make the front page of the New York Times over a video game about trading cards, you done did something kind of fucked up. You stepped in it a little bit.
All right, we went quiet for a second because I was pulling up this weekend's box office numbers. So let's talk a little bit of movies, because that's a more comfortable territory for all of us, even with Bob not here. And we put out a review this week of Gemini Man. I think the trailer looks underwhelming in the first place, but the review felt the same. Actually, the majority of reviews felt the same. It has not been very popular, but it is Will Smith. It is sci-fi action movie. You got to expect some money from it. However, $20 million opening weekend finished number 3. The Joker stays at number 1 with another $55 million this weekend. And The Addams Family, which, I mean, it's a family movie. It's the animated version, some great voice actors. It finished number 2 at $30 million. You'd expect it to be up there for sure. But Gemini Man, Will Smith was working hard on promoting this too. And it just does not, I don't think $20 million is what they're going to be happy with.
No. And when was the last Will Smith movie you were excited about? Like, honestly, stop
Aladdin. Aladdin. I was excited about the Aladdin remake. And if you look at the numbers, a lot of people were, because that's right,
what was the last Will Smith led movie you were excited about?
That's a great question. I'm going to have to look at the list. You talk while I figure it out.
I mean, when was, okay. And then second question, while you're looking at the list, look at this as well, because it's probably the same movie. When was the last Will Smith non-comedy that you were excited about?
So I'm excited about an upcoming movie. Does that count? Bad Boys. The third Bad Boys doesn't count?
Well, which even also, still it's looks also a comedy.
Okay, it still looks underwhelming as well.
Yeah.
So I have his actor thing up here. He's got a lot in the works. So Gemini Man, before that, he did obviously the Aladdin movie, Bright on Netflix, which I think it looked interesting.
It wasn't very good, but the idea was intriguing.
It did. And so I think it had some build up for excitement before it came out.
I think we both know that Iggy was super pumped for Suicide Squad. Just.
Oh, God. No.
You were. It turned out to not be good, but you
no. I wasn't pumped for Suicide Squad. We got, I got podcasts that prove it. I still haven't even seen Concussion or Collateral Beauty. Focus was, that was not good either. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going to get there. Men in Black 3.
It's probably I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Or so they're right there back to back anyway. So you're going back over a decade.
Right.
For both of those.
Concussion was great. And he did a fantastic job in it. But it, you know, that's not a movie that excited anybody. And so, I mean, I love Will Smith. I grew up with Will Smith, for crying out loud. Like, but some of that luster shine, you know, it's gone for me a little bit, especially if I have to watch, was it After Earth? Did he do After Earth?
It was After Earth.
Yeah.
After
he drew Oblivion.
No, that was Tom Cruise.
But those like the same time frame. And it's like, these are both bad movies. What did you two do? But I mean, After Earth, and this seems like, oh, it didn't work with my son. I'll just do a CGI me. It'll be great. Same movie. Don't worry about it. Come on, man.
I don't know. And this has got Clive Owen. You got Elizabeth, last name there for me, Tyler.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Winstead, thank you.
Oh, she is in Gemini Man?
Yeah, she's in Gemini Man. Clive Owen's in Gemini Man.
All right.
It looks terrible. But nothing about the trailers makes me want to go see
this. About this movie.
I don't know if it's him or what he signs on for, or him wanting to have a hand. But he just hasn't been in very many good movies. He just hasn't been a good movie in a long time.
Even though
some of the ones that were really pushed heavy, like Focus, the one with him and what's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Was meh at best. Men in Black 3 was okay.
It was better than Men in Black International, that's for sure.
I mean, Men in Black 3 was good just because it turns out that Josh Brolin does a really good Tommy Lee Jones impression.
yes, that's very true. But at the same time, even though we're not overly excited for this, how much did After Earth pull in opening weekend? How much did, obviously Concussion's not that type of movie, but you know, if Bright was at the box office, how much money would that have made? We don't know because Netflix just tells us numbers they want to tell us, but he's still a draw. And he's the big guy. What did you pull up numbers?
Yeah, After Earth opened the same weekend. Well, I don't know if it opened the same weekend, but the weekend it opened, it made $27 million. It finished in third behind Fast and Furious 6th and Now You See Me, which were not, I don't think, either of them opening that weekend.
Oh.
That's $7 million more. I guess we are seeing a trend here. Okay, so I don't know. Now You See Me ended up being...
Give me something funny.
Yeah, let me put it this way.
It's fantastic when you can be funny.
So there were three big sci-fi flops that summer, because that was the summer of 2012. It made more on opening weekend than Battleship, but it made less on opening weekend than John Carter, to put it into a frame of reference for you.
Well, John Carter cost so much. That's a big reason for its box office, like, not opposite of success, I guess. But have you watched John Carter again after getting away from all the, like,
I didn't
bad
watch it
news
the first
around
time.
It? You didn't watch it the first time?
I've literally never watched the whole thing. I've seen parts of it, but
it's watchable.
Not good.
It's watchable, guys.
Is it?
Yeah, everything's
Batman watchable. Robin watchable?
It's better than Batman Robin. I was going with the it's watchable line for you guys there to bring it all back. But one thing we have had lately, so The Joker again, successful in the box office. Adam, I know you saw it. I didn't see it. Tyler, you've been like busy.
I've been gone, but yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I talked a lot about this weekend to people who have seen it, and the reviews were mixed.
I'm not in a hurry to see it. I'm really not, like,
it's quite good.
I mostly what I'm hearing is what I expected of it, that he's phenomenal, that the like setup and everything's great, but that the pacing's slow and that it's really just not needed.
Well, I mean, so I guess my biggest knock is it's the, I call it the World War Z phenomenon now because of that movie and the book. You could have called it anything else and it probably would have been better received from a general movie audience.
Very fair. Very fair.
It doesn't need to be a Joker movie. The story and like what it has to say, I think, is quite poignant, and it does a really good job at it. And I think Todd Phillips is not getting the credit he should, because I think it's a better movie than most people are giving it credit for. And Phoenix is scary good. But yeah, I think if you don't call it Joker and you just remove the tangential Batman connection, it's a fantastic movie.
I don't know. It's, I mean, I'm interested in seeing it. I'm just not in a huge rush, especially with how busy I've been as well. But it's done well. But in the meantime, and I'm just going to list them here first, guys, because we haven't met in like 3 weeks or so. And it is trailer season right now. Like, it is crazy trailer. One part is Netflix. They're going to release a trailer for everything that's a flagship title, mainly because Disney's around the corner. So they are just, they dropped a teaser for Stranger Things. They announced BoJack Horseman, season six, a final season divided up in two parts. They dropped their Michael Bay film with Ryan Reynolds as the star in Six Underground, which for the first time in a while, I'm saying the Michael Bay movie actually looks really interesting. So, and they've got a lot happening there. DC, speaking of DC, dropped their Birds of Prey trailer, or I think the proper title should be Birds of Prey, or a movie that's actually about Harley Quinn. And then you have Disney.
Harley Quinn and how we're going to shoehorn in four other characters.
Right. And we'll talk about that one because I got a lot to say about that. But Disney also dropped their Pixar trailer Onward, which is like a fantasy animated Weekend at Bernie's, a Jungle Cruise based off of their successful ride. Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman starring Matthew McConaughey. There we go, guys. I'm in for that right there. You also got Charlie Hunnam, Michelle Dockery, Hugh Grant, Colin Farrell. And then Disney also with Doolittle, the Dr. Doolittle. Is this the third time? I think the third time we're getting a Dr. Doolittle remake. And you have Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doolittle, but it also stars, are you ready? Tom Holland, Michael Sheen, Marion Cotillard, Rami Malek, John Cena, Emma Thompson, Kumail Nanjiani, Selena Gomez.
Now, how many of those are actually in the movie and how many of them just voice an animal?
Oh, that's fair. That kind of takes away from it, though.
Boo, Tyler. Boo.
Yeah. You killed
I'm just curious. I mean, it's obviously going to have a lot of voiced animals if it's a duo.
Well, Emma Thompson does a lot of voices now, so I think she would be a voiced animal.
Probably right.
Kumail Nanjiani. I'm really thinking he's going to be a voice now. Now that you said this.
Damn it. Tom Holland, who is in.
Did I ruin it for everyone? Well,
right? Kind of did, because that was the only thing that had me going for that movie. I mean.
Now, if they did I'm gonna look it up for you now.
Okay,
and I'd be on board.
I have good news. Michael Sheen is a person. Antonio Banderas is a person.
Yeah, he's not even listed, and he's in the trailer.
Jim Broadbent's a person. Literally everyone else you named is a voice.
I like Jim Broadbent though.
I got Antonio Banderas in there. I'm excited about that.
John Cena is a polar bear. Cotillard is a fox. Ralph Fiennes is a tiger.
Oh, Ray Fiennes even as well? Yeah. Dude, we got even more names that we haven't even brought up.
Selena Gomez is a giraffe. Tom Holland is a dog. Rami Malek is a gorilla. Kumail Nanjiani is a
small, high-energy dog.
Oh, there's some here I didn't even know they were going to be in here. Kumail Nanjiani is an ostrich. Craig Robinson is a mouse. Octavia Spencer is a duck. Emma Thompson.
Good Lord, this cast is ridiculous.
Emma Thompson is the parrot, who's like the parrot in like all the adaptations. I mean,
okay, so even though it's all voice acting, just fine
money wise, right? That's not a problem.
And even though it's all voice acting, you just added like 10 more names that we didn't even have. So I'm sorry, I'm still on board now all of a sudden, because the only one that I didn't have buy in there was Selena Gomez as a giraffe. I don't know. I didn't feel that one. The rest of them, I can get down with. Especially if Tom Holland, because when I'm thinking dog, I'm thinking in the Eddie Murphy one, the dog that's like, throw the ball with, what's his name is the voice actor?
Norm?
No, it was they're really...
Norm did a voice in that, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't...
Like, he's like a rat.
Norm's the main dog, like the dog the kids get. But then there's the dog that's the throw the ball with, what's his name's voice?
Oh, it's like, it's like somebody else's
Gilbert dog. Godfrey, right? Right. It's like, throw the ball. Like, I felt like that. I could be completely wrong because the last time I saw that movie is, your guess is,
I don't know. They got Danny Elfman to do the music, which is good. Although
it's a Disney movie. Of course they did.
But Stephen Gagan is the director, which if you were to say, who should you hire to do the Dr. Doolittle remake with Robert Downey Jr., my first answer would not have been the guy who wrote and directed Syriana. Just throwing that out there.
I don't know.
He also made that movie recently, Gold, with Matthew McConaughey.
That's a good movie.
I don't know. I don't know.
But is it Dr. Doolittle?
I mean, I love Syriana. but
Dr. Doolittle is it. But this is at the same time. Those were solid writing type movies. This is like, you're going to lob this shit in there. Like, this is a doc. Let me go grab the script from 20 years ago. Just change up a few things and hand it over to Disney. And what we'll do is we'll just add 30 famous people to voice animals and it's going to be successful. But I don't know. Of all the ones, there's a lot of ones to get excited about. But I'm telling you what, Guy Ritchie, love Guy Ritchie. First of all, Guy Ritchie's fantastic. But you're going to put Matthew McConaughey in the lead for The Gentlemen, which is fantastic. And you also get Charlie Hunnam, who looks fantastic in that trailer in his role.
I'm more excited about Hugh Grant.
That's where first I was about to go. Hugh Grant.
Doing an accent, not playing the usual Hugh Grant character. Like, he's doing a different regional accent, and he's like a scumbag. It looks fantastic.
And then Colin Farrell in there for that comic relief, which anytime you put in Colin Farrell for comic relief, it's usually successful, like for his little role there.
Well, especially since he's going to not have to do an American accent. So think about any
right, right,
that with Colin Farrell with, and he's doing an American accent. When you liked Colin Farrell, he's got his regular accent.
And he's probably drunk. He does
an amazing job.
He's probably drunk. And I don't know, that looks really good. And then, so let's talk a little bit about it. DC's Birds of Prey, or what is it? The Fabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn. Is that right for the subtitle? Something ridiculous.
I don't know.
But
several of those words are in there for sure. I don't know.
So all of them. The teaser they did that of all people, Margot Robbie released on her Instagram, last spring, of the costume teaser was pretty much all Harley Quinn. This trailer is pretty much all Harley Quinn. But what gets really confusing is that you're adding your Birds of Prey characters. You're getting two of them. You're getting Black Canary and you're getting Huntress, which I think look pretty good. And they've got, you know, a good cast for it, but they're helping Margot Robbie's. They're helping her do like villain things like
crimes.
That. Yeah.
They're doing crimes.
It doesn't make sense to me. That's why I'm even stumbling over the words trying to say it. It's so confusing here, but you're going to help Harley Quinn break the law. Even though you're two heroes, the trailer could totally be misleading, right? It's
a weird mix of characters from like the DC mythos, because you got Harley Quinn, Huntress, and Black Canary. Then you have one of them is apparently Renee Montoya, who's like the cop who's friends with sort of deals with Batman and then becomes the Question years later, and Cassandra Cain. But then the villains are apparently Victor Zsasz, the serial killer, and Black Mask, who doesn't have a black mask yet. I'm assuming that'll be something at the end of the movie or something.
I hope so, because that's the whole, his whole freaking name's Black Mask. Come on.
So who the fuck knows? I don't know. I mean, does anyone have anything?
I don't think DC knows, which is part of the problem.
It's been the problem for a long time. And Cassandra Cain, I didn't realize she was going to be in there. Who's playing Cassandra Cain?
Someone whose name I don't know. Ella J. Basco.
Okay. Yeah. Then I don't know what to say. So she's probably just going to be, it's probably going to be.
DC saw that there was one thing they've done in the last like 3 years other than Wonder Woman that people kind of liked. And that was Margot Robbie in Suicide Squad and said, let's run this motherfucker into the ground. So
you're,
I don't know.
I mean, you're not wrong. I usually agree with you, but in this case, you're definitely not wrong. Who's Cassandra Cain, guys?
She is
talking to someone who doesn't read comic books.
She is another Cassandra Cain is another iteration of Huntress and also another iteration of Catwoman at point.
And Batgirl.
Oh, Batgirl. I'm sorry. That's right. She's the Huntress that becomes Batgirl. If that's not Catwoman, my bad. So,
and at one point she moves to like Hong Kong and becomes like the Black Bat or something, but she's a Batgirl.
So yeah, correction on, sorry, Batgirl's correct there, but she is at very different times. So she was, if I remember correctly, she's Huntress, becomes Batgirl when Batgirl's back breaks and she becomes Oracle. And then the new Huntress comes into play. And then that's the new Huntress. And then I think even at one time in more recent iterations, because I haven't been reading as much DC, is that the newest Huntress, I think, is even technically like related to Batman and Catwoman. Like, I don't remember how that.
The Bat family has gotten so ridiculous.
Everybody in Gotham knows it's Bruce Wayne. Everybody in Gotham, because they're his ally or they're his enemy.
Right, because they're all also superheroes, right?
Exactly. You're either a superhero, a police officer, a mobster, or a supervillain.
Yeah,
that's what you have to be, one of those four to be in Gotham.
Yeah, but depending on which, I think the most recent continuity, like Cassandra is like late as Shiva's kid.
See, this is just, it's
like Lady Shiva's kid who becomes a bat. I think
the title of this movie is confusing. Let's just break into some of the history of some of these characters and how it all comes together. But
I was about to say, like, I feel like Cassandra Cain's a fairly new DC character, but when I say new DC character, like when you say new comic book character in our age, you're like, oh, someone they introduced in the 80s. Cassandra Cain was introduced in 99, but that was 20 years ago. So she's kind of a new character. She's not really a new character in the comic books.
So in the on Batman Wiki, she was conceived and trained from birth with the intention of creating the perfect bodyguard for Ra's al Ghul.
So she's the male Damian?
What?
Well, Damian is Batman and or Bruce Wayne and Talia al Ghul's kid.
Yeah,
and,
but
and,
this
then Ra's trains him to become, but he's got at least a reason for being.
So there are two young children who now are being taken care of by Bruce Wayne, who were trained from birth to become assassins by the League of Shadows.
Two might be a small number here.
And one's a girl, and one became Robin, and one became Batgirl. So. Wow, uh-huh. Big differences there.
yeah. One's a boy and basically, one's a girl.
Basically two different, totally different characters.
Yes, but I think the point here is with the movie, the Birds of Prey movie, why are we even putting Birds of Prey in the title? Like, this is the Harley Quinn movie. This is the Harley Quinn movie DC said they were going to make, and they're making it right here. And they are even adding Harley Quinn into the title. But nothing about this trailer tells me. It's Black Canary with her around, but you see Huntress in like three clips, like real quick. And you see Black Canary helping Harley Quinn, excuse me.
I think we should definitely start calling her Robbie Quinn.
Let's call her Robbie Quinn. Sure. Margot Robbie Quinn.
Take exactly one quarter. Let's take one quarter. Take 25% of the production you were going to use for literally any of these DC live action movies. 25% of it.
Money? Are we talking money?
Okay. Yeah, take the production cost of one of these DC movies, sink all of it into one DC animated studios movie. That will have been literally like 100 times more money than ever has been spent on an animated movie before.
Right.
And it will easily make way more than literally any live action DC movie that's been made to date.
Or take that budget and actually, so people are dropping off of Infinite Crisis left and right. We even did the news story a while back. So the Arrowverse on CW is doing the big Crisis event. And now they're even saying 89 Batman is tied into it and pulling some characters from that movie. But they were talking about the Smallville guys and they ended up both dropping off because neither one, supposedly all these people are being added. They can't be told the filming schedule, which at this point needs to be starting at any time now because we're almost to the winter for this. So it may have already started and they're not being told how much they get paid. There's your money right there. Like you said, take quarter of that money because people eat up this Arrowverse stuff and the Flash is pretty good.
Oh, it's been consistently better than all of the DC movies, which is disappointing.
Yes, that's very true.
Just saying that out loud is disappointing.
Yeah, when you're DC
minus Wonder Woman,
when your WB teen drama with a superhero in it is better than your tent pole, that's just wow.
Gosh.
Yeah. I definitely would rather watch any of those than Batman versus Superman, I can tell you that. Like, hands down, I'm going to sit you in this chair and make you watch every episode of Arrow, Flash,
wow,
Legends of Tomorrow, all of them
wrong,
back to back.
No, not at all.
Or you can watch Batman versus Superman for the same number of hours. I would take the Arrowverse and all.
Right, that easily. So to wrap up our trailer recap here on things that's going on, John Boyega's agent, so let's see how far this is credible. We should be getting a Rise of Skywalker trailer this week, guys. Crossing my fingers, I'm hoping. We're really getting there. We should be. However, Disney might be playing this one smart this time because there was so much mixed around the Solo and Episode 7. And then now it's just like, let's just let it build again. Let's just let it build that excitement. And I feel like it is. I'm super stoked for this. I'm ready for this close up. And I'm happy to have J.J. Abrams back on to wrap it up.
There is zero good that can come out of a new trailer. There's nobody who's going to watch it and be like, oh, I was on the fence before, and I'm definitely on board now.
No,
there's
even though
good to come out of a new trailer.
Hate on the Star Wars stuff that are Star Wars. They're still going to go see it. Like, it's
right. Just ride it out. Don't put out anything. Just blank screen. Rise of Skywalker release date.
Just keep re-releasing the old trailer.
Dude, the teaser last spring was just, it's still like, it, that was fantastic. That was a great trailer.
Just wait until about 2 to 3 weeks before the movie comes out and then just release like 30-second TV spots of just her flipping over the TIE fighter.
Right.
And then the title of the movie and then move on.
But do we even need any more buildup other than November 12th? We get the start of The Mandalorian. Like, I mean, that's enough to get me even more excited for the movie too. Like, I'm going to watch, and apparently they're going to be releasing it weekly. They're taking away our binge culture that we've gotten used to. Damn you, Disney Plus. And so we'll get it weekly up until we get to go to theaters and watch a new Star Wars movie. I mean, talk about happy holidays, guys. You get Star Wars every week.
I don't understand how. So, I mean, it's unbelievable to me that Disney, who now owns Star Wars and Marvel and Pixar, they have this dearth of intelligent people at the top. They do stupid things occasionally here and there, but releasing a show weekly to allow you to finish it right at the launch of a movie that is tangentially related. I mean, they're in the same universe. It's not one leading directly into another or anything like that, is so intelligent.
Says you.
No, I want it all.
I bet you there's crazy synergy.
Right. Maybe they are related. Or more related than I'm thinking they are. And at the same time, we have Warner Brothers in DC standing over in the corner somewhere with a yo-yo that they can't figure out how to make come back up. And it just keeps rolling down and sitting there and, you know,
it keeps rolling to the feet of the Disney executives, and they keep handing it back to them. Guys, one of us can show you how to operate this yo-yo if you really want us to. Like, we just want 50%. Just ask Sony.
We're gonna make a Harley Quinn movie. Oh, what are you gonna call it? Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
No, they were just going to call it Birds of Prey. And somebody goes, maybe we should put Harley Quinn in the title somewhere.
We do need
great
to
put, idea.
No, someone said, no. Someone on top said, you have to put Harley Quinn in the title. Yeah, but it's not. It's about all. Put Harley Quinn's name in the title or I will fucking fire you. People need to know.
But what? How is this relating to Harley Quinn? Well, I feel like it's a fabulous emancipation of the one Harley Quinn, wouldn't you say? I think that's a great subtitle for this. And in fact, let's make it not even just a subtitle. Let's make it part of the actual title. Good Lord, DC and Warner Brothers, get it together, man. And you got some great characters there too to play with. And oh gosh, I don't know, but that'll be interesting. But yeah, Disney's got to figure it out.
Maybe James Gunn will fix it.
So great. And this is actually from our friends over at High Five, the podcast. You can go listen to it. So go back and listen, I think about 2 weeks ago, to their DCEU episode. Episode is what it was titled. And they had a great, I think they had a great, what do you call it, theory for the upcoming Suicide Squad movie. So we're getting all of the same characters, but we're getting a bunch of new characters. And we're being told it's not a sequel, and it's not even technically fully related to the first one. They really thought, and I love this idea too, and I wish I could take credit for it, but I'm giving it to them, is they really thought that in the first few minutes, all those original characters from the first movie, outside of Harley Quinn, obviously, are just going to be killed off. Like, just going to be killed off, and even better, maybe in some kind of meta way that James Gunn would put together, and then you just roll with the new cast.
They are the Suicide Squad. That's what they're there for.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. So that would be really cool to do. And, I'm excited for that one just because James Gunn's tied to it and I feel like he can fix that up a little bit.
Except that one guy at the DC Warner Brothers who's like super married to Boomerang and is like, no, you can't kill him. All you gotta keep Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang, like what the hell is he even doing in the... So we have a lot of great DC characters we could introduce right now, but who should we really bring? Let's put Cassandra Cain in the background of one movie and by some no-name actress, just tease the name there. Let's give Joker his own movie that has nothing to do with the DC universe. And then also let's get Captain Boomerang in here. Let's get him.
Speaking of Captain Boomerang, I am curious. I like the guy. He seems delightful. He's incredibly attractive. But how the fuck does Jai Courtney still keep getting jobs?
It's a great question. He may not get killed off too, because it's Jai Courtney, right? Like,
no, I mean, no, name. No lie. Suicide Squad might be his best slash like most iconic role that he's played. Like, he's played a lot of characters, and I don't know that anyone could name it.
I know his, that's the thing. You know his name. You know who he is. But yeah,
he's been in a lot of big movies.
Yeah. But I can't tell you what he played in.
And here's the thing. He's been in two huge movie franchises playing very, very main characters, and you still can't fucking remember who they were.
I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to look it up.
I'm cheating right now. That's why I got quiet.
Just name one of the franchises, and I'll tell you who they are. Just try to pick a big movie franchise that had a sequel in the last like 4 or 5 years.
I forgot about it. I remember a good day to Die Hard. I don't think I should.
He's John McClane's son. Yes. And he's Kyle Reese in Terminator Genesis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's all you got. And he was in the Divergence.
I can't remember much of Terminator Genesis at all.
He was also in Alita, Battle Angel, the Wet Hot American Summer Netflix series.
He was in all the Divergent movies.
What, did any of us see that?
No, but I mean, those. The first couple made a lot of money. They were big.
Jack Reacher. He was in Jack Reacher, I, Frankenstein.
Man just keeps getting work.
He's got a...
What the hell?
I don't know how he keeps getting work, but man keeps getting work.
The guy nailed his Captain Boomerang performance, clearly.
He was not bad as Captain Boomerang.
No, he was perfectly good in all those other movies too. Like, but if I were going to be working in Hollywood, I'm calling his agent like right away, right? Like, I mean, like, Jesus Christ. That's the guy I want working for me. Holy crap.
The problem with Captain Boomerang is that he's Booster Gold unintentionally. So Booster Gold in the DC universe is the campy, over the top, annoying at times, cheesy character, but on purpose. That's what makes Booster Gold so great. And then you pair him up with Blue Beetle and it gets even better. The problem is Captain Boomerang, you show him in what you talk about those DC animated movies. I think I can remember at least one where he has just like a minute where he gets caught at like the beginning. And that's what he's there for, is for the little, look, I'm a shitty villain that just did something cheesy and you guys caught me already. That's going to set up the bigger movie. Like, that's what Captain Boomerang's job is in the DC universe.
Captain Boomerang's a joke in the DC universe, but that's all he is. And the Booster Gold pretends to be a joke and is secretly like, saved the universe a million times and is like the smartest person in the room.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why Booster Gold, it works there for that. And this is not.
That's because there's another level to Booster Gold. There's not another level to Captain Boomerang. It's just can't be dog shit all the way down.
It's Jai Courtney. There's clearly another level. But anyways, we're spending a lot of time on DC. And since we're talking about it, I did have on our agenda to talk about what DC Comics is also doing, because they're like, hey, let's not just mess up our movie universe. You know what we haven't had in a while in the comic universe? You know, it's been at least 18 months since our last big crisis event. Maybe it's time to do another crisis event. And you know what we're going to do this time? We're going to wipe out the main people who play our main characters, the Bruce Waynes, you know, Diana, Clark Kent, all them. And we're going to replace them with new people, because that seemed to work for Marvel. So why don't we try that? That's what's in the plans for 2020 in your DC Comics universe.
Did the comics people, did they hire some of those Warner Brothers folks? Is that what's going on over there?
They brought the Warner exec team down. That was crazy.
I mean, really probably what it is, so they've got all of those. I mean, they've got Injustice 2 and Injustice. Those are fantastic games centered in the DC universe. I think they got people showing up in Mortal Kombat 2. You got all the Batman games. Fantastic as well. And they all sell skins that you can like reskin the characters. And they probably haven't sold very many of those recently. And so they're like, if we kill everybody, then we get new people and they'll have new suits. And then we can charge the people playing those video games, because nobody's buying the comics. We can charge people playing the video games to buy those new skins.
And I mean, in line with that, Poison Ivy gets like her 40th version of a costume this week in the new Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn comic. Well, that stands. They're a couple with good reason, and the whole thing of them becoming a couple is a great thing about the Joker, because he's abusive, and everybody bought into the Joker Harley Quinn thing. And for him to leave him and go with Harley Quinn, or I'm sorry, with Poison Ivy, then you get it's a good thing that they have a comic together. I can accept Harley Quinn being in that title.
What's the new crisis going to be?
I don't know. The big news that snuck out from the sources within DC was just that they're going to be changing the characters and that they're going to prelude it with a crisis. So I don't think there's been any news around what the crisis is.
Because wasn't technically Dark Knight's Metal a crisis? Or a crisis level DC event last year?
Every 3 weeks is a new crisis in the DC Comics universe. They write it well. They do a good job. But why don't you have an ongoing series that just combines all the DC characters? Because that's the reason they do the crisis.
In DC's defense, there were a lot of announcements at a New York Comic Con about they gave Tom King a bunch more series he's going to be writing. So that's going to be good.
I'm down with that. Yeah, even though I haven't been reading anything DC lately.
Apparently, they're going to be doing like a new Adam Strange series. There's a new Harley Joker thing that's apparently supposed to be pretty good. Obviously, still writing Batman.
More so. Harley Quinn.
I don't know.
It's going to be called The Joker. It's the sequel to the Joker movie, The Joker, or The Fabulous Emancipation of
Harley Quinn. Everything, because like this year was all, what do you call it, Year of the Villain stuff. So like Flash is having a big thing where like all his villains get together and take over Central City. Not unlike what Bane has been doing for the last year in Gotham, in City of Bane, which has been a series going since July or whatever. So I don't know.
Are we playing this Cassandra Cain, Damian comparison again here?
It's DC Comics.
Things are pretty much the same. They're just happening in different areas.
I don't know. It's whatever.
The problem with DC too is that, and it's not a problem in a miniseries, but it is with me because I couldn't keep up with House of X and Powers of X. And that's the thing with Batman. You want to read Batman, you have to collect four different Batman series that come out each month. Like it's, you have to read.
I mean, that's true of all comics. I think DC's weird thing is, and not that Marvel doesn't do this, but Marvel, I think, is a little bit more cautious about it. They also have fewer crises, but like they don't ever make new characters in the DC universe. They just have the new character take over the old character. So that's why there's been, you know, 17 Blue Beetles or five people have been the Question, or you'd name your favorite character like, I'm a big fan of Green Arrow.
Batgirl and
Green Arrow 1, Green Arrow 2, Green Arrow 3, Green Arrow 4, Green Arrow 5, or when Green Arrow 1 came back and became Green Arrow 7, like, which is your favorite Flash? Because there's 17 of them at this point, so, you know, that's always annoying.
But wait, you killed Hal Jordan? Let's bring him back with Kyle.
Green Lantern, I'll let that one slide. I'll let the Green Lantern one slide because there's a lot of them. Sometimes some of them.
But even on the Earth ones, we're like, we have Hal Jordan. We kill him off. People are not happy about that. So, well, Kyle Rayner's he's a sweet character. We can't kill him off. So we'll just kind of shove him down to the side a little bit here and bring back Hal Jordan. But we need some diversity. So let's get John Stewart in here as well. And he's also an Earth Green Lantern. But we couldn't have him come from another sector. You know, I don't know. It's you're exactly right. I think
Just make give him a different name.
Can we? We're just gonna complain about DC. This all. We're just gonna do a whole new podcast complaining about DC. I'm pretty sure, almost this time every year, we talk about launching that new podcast series because it's
DC sucks.
They give us so much material though. Like, yeah. I mean,
well, and obviously we get all that money from Marvel to say bad things about DC.
Right. I mean, Disney's just—it's pouring out of their pockets, so they are sharing very easily. But let's head on. Let's talk a little bit about them on the movie side. Marvel, obviously back at San Diego Comic-Con, without even showing a trailer, they lit up the internet and they lit up Project Nerd too, because we covered those with some of those articles and those were our top viewed things for quite a while. And one of those things was with Thor coming back is that Natalie Portman with her cameo back in, well, spoilers, excuse me, but her cameo back in Endgame was a shock to a lot of people because Natalie Portman and the Marvel team did not end on good terms, is I guess a way to put it. Well, she came back, made a cameo, and then she was announced to come back to be Jane Foster and take over Thor, just kind of like how the comics is going. Well, the new rumor is Liv Tyler, who was in the Hulk movies, well, they are putting She-Hulk together, and Liv Tyler is being talked about to come back to play She-Hulk. Continuity-wise, yes, I know, Tyler, you're looking at me weird because She-Hulk is not like Thor where he just, you know, she became worthy. So it's like, oh, it's...
But Betty Brant is a Hulk character. She becomes the female Red Hulk.
But not She-Hulk.
Or not Betty Brant. That's from Spider-Man.
Ross.
Betty Ross becomes like a Hulk character. She Hulk.
But not She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk is a different character. Her
name that's my point.
Jessica, and she's related to Bruce Banner. She's a lawyer.
So that's my point here, is that they're still talking about bringing back Liv Tyler as Betty to become She-Hulk.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That's what I'm getting.
Betty Ross is a Hulk character.
Tyler
becomes a Hulk.
Tyler, we're on the same page here. It's just
why are you guys so angry with this? Which one of you is about to Hulk out?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So maybe this is what's going to happen. Maybe one of the DC executives got hired over there at Marvel and to take over the She-Hulk movie. And Bruce Banner is going to be working on, he's going to be working on some stuff to try to reverse the Hulk stuff now, especially now that he's smart.
He's working on how to make larger clothes.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. And while he's shooting radiation on those clothes, she trips in front and becomes She-Hulk. Origin story.
Which it's like saying, like, hey, we're making a new Justice League movie, but instead of Diana Prince being Wonder Woman, it's Lois Lane.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That is the equivalent of what this is.
But so which Hulk was she in? Was she in Ed Norton's or Eric Bana's?
Ed Norton's. Yeah, because
that's technically the one that's supposed to be in the universe, right?
Yes.
Technically canon.
Because Jennifer Connelly was the first one. I remember
Jennifer Connelly. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And because...
You don't forget Jennifer Connelly.
William Hurt, who plays Thunderbolt Ross, has stayed in the continuity as Thunderbolt Ross.
Well, right. Ed Norton was supposed to stay in it, but he was like, screw you guys signing this big of a movie contract if I don't get full creative control of the Hulk. That was where the argument was. He's like, and as you see, we've talked about it before we started recording, he's gone into directing and writing. He right. wanted full creative control of the Hulk's of everything and to make another Hulk movie. And Marvel was like, no, nobody gets full creative control outside of this office. Yeah. And so now he's kind of looking in there and being like, do you guys want to share any of that money? Like, so, but yes, it is part of the universe. Correct.
Anyway, Betty Ross was a She-Hulk. She was just the red She-Hulk, not the She-Hulk.
That's... Well, maybe they'll make her the red She-Hulk in the... Maybe the
that
She-Hulk
wouldn't make movie. Any fucking sense. Could
you imagine? So let's do a movie. If anybody's going to pull it off, it's going to be Disney's Marvel, though. Let's make the movie about the Green Hulk and the Red Hulk. Let's get the Hulks all split up here and then get a whole army of Hulk going. And I think that they could pull it off. It'd be a lot of Hulk. Maybe you can bring Ed Norton back as one of the other Hulks, as the Red Hulk. Because yeah. He's clearly from the Red Hulk universe because yeah. Liv Tyler is going to become the She-Hulk.
Also, Red She-Hulk was a weird character. So, I don't know. They definitely played it up a lot.
But here's what's going to be better.
She had a big sword and guns and stuff. It was a very strange character.
But if they do this, they have the Green Hulks and the Red Hulks. And that's going to make DC do the Red and Blue Superman movie. To where Superman becomes pure energy and splits into two entities, becoming Red Superman and Blue Superman, because we all know how successful that was in the comic universe.
So I don't understand. Like, no, I'm just, no. Yeah. Never mind. We'll just move on to the next thing.
That was the thing. Well, the next thing is a fun thing. I'm excited for this. So I think we talked about in the past, Animaniacs are coming back, and they're coming back to Hulu. And even with Disney buying out Hulu fully, this is still happening. But their most recent news is that Rob Paulsen, Tress McNeil, and Jess Harsnell, I said it. It's close enough. They're all coming back.
Close enough? It's somebody's name. It's not like a regular word.
Sorry. Okay. Jess Harsnell. Let me drop the S from his last name. Thank you. Are coming back as Yakko, Wakko, and Dot. That's fun.
The Animaniacs.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. This is going to be great. The good thing about the Animaniacs is this is something you can reboot now and it still work. Yeah, and especially if you get the original cast here.
I think you skipped over the biggest part of that announcement though. So Paulsen, who was Yakko, is coming back. And Tress McNally, who was Dot's coming back. And Jess Harsnell's Wakko is coming back. Who else is coming back though?
Who else? Are they bringing Pinky and the Brain back?
Maurice LaMarche is coming back as the Brain.
So Pinky and the Brain's still going to be part of the anime. Okay, I'm down. Dude, I can't get more excited for this. Like, my excitement level is at max. Right.
Rob Paulsen, Maurice LaMarche, back together again as Pinky and the Brain.
So does that mean we also get some Slappy the Squirrel, the Good Feathers?
God, I don't know. That would be curious. I would be curious to see.
You kind of have to, right?
What was the dog and the little girl? What was the dog's name?
I don't know. I don't remember.
That always followed around and got in trouble. Mindy's the girl's name, right?
Mindy and Buttons? Is it Buttons?
Button. I think you're right. Well, Buttons chases Mindy. And yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Buttons and Mindy.
So do we get an updated country song from
Anime? He's done a version of it.
He's done it on like the Nerdist, right?
I would assume so.
I want the animation with it. I want the full Animaniacs here.
We're going to get it all, baby.
All right. I'm excited.
The funny thing is they can make just the new drawing, but update the old, like the old show, just make it again.
A garage sale?
Nobody would be unhappy with that at all.
I'll watch the garage sale one over. Oh, yes.
Do we get the nurse back?
Hello, nurse.
Do we get, what was her name from, they took that character from Tiny Toons and moved her over to that show, and she had her adventures with Mr. Skullhead.
Skullhead.
She was the creepy little kid, and she wore the skull bow, and then there was like the adventures of Skullhead.
Oh, I don't remember. There was also Rita and the one where he didn't realize she was a cat. Rita was the cat, and I don't remember the dog's name. Gosh, I need to rewatch some of this. My kids love it too, so it holds up well. My kids love it.
Rita and like, and Runt.
Yeah, that's right. It's great stuff. I'm up for all of it coming back. The Animaniacs was fantastic. And while we're at it, like Hulu, I mean, there's Freakazoid. Like we've got plenty of other things there too that I'm happy to have back. Freakazoid was fantastic.
Freakazoid was good.
All right. So, okay. We're getting low on time here. Before we head out, I do want to mention, obviously this weekend you can catch, if you're in the Wichita area, come check out the Tallgrass Film Festival. That's right. It is the 17th annual Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita, Kansas. Often considered one of the top festivals in the Midwest, in not the entire country. And it's going to be great. We're going to be out there. I'm excited for it. We'll be doing our normal press stuff. Bobcat Goldthwait. Man, I am butchering everything. I preluded at the beginning that I'm not going to be able. And not only that, his last name's hard to say because it's a tricky one. Bobcat's going to be there. He's getting the Ad Astra Award on Saturday. We'll be working that red carpet event and hanging out with him a little bit as well. Super excited for that. Sugar Hill Gang closing it down on Saturday night. Woohoo. Man, that's going to be awesome. Really excited about the Tallgrass Film Festival, but then also heading over to the Denver Film Festival's 42nd annual happening for the Denver Film Festival. And their opening gala is Knives Out. And we talked about it a little bit, I think, before we started recording. That looks pretty awesome. Ed Norton, who we just brought up here again recently, his movie that's coming out directing, and who did I always say was in it? Willem Dafoe, Bruce Willis.
Alec Baldwin,
yeah.
Some other people.
That's a big one. So that'll be here at the Denver Film Festival.
What's that one? Motherless Brooklyn?
Something like that, or Brooklyn, yeah. Motherless, so or Motherless. Anybody
who's not in Scorsese's The Irishman or Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman
is in
Ed Norton's Motherless Brooklyn.
Exactly. When do we get The Irishman? When does that hit Netflix?
Soon. Beginning of November, right?
They've already released, because I know they're already doing the theatrical stuff in New York, and they've done the festivals.
Right. They festivaled it up.
I think it was at Toronto, right? Where. What?
And they didn't get it into any theaters because the theaters were being shitty about it. So they're showing it at a theater on Broadway. That's a Broadway theater that's never shown a movie before.
As long as it gets a release stateside, as long as it shows in a theater somewhere stateside, it can be up for awards. But I believe it was Toronto where it came out of, and the critics were actually saying the problem with it is that this is just too good, that it is Scorsese's best movie ever.
November 1st.
Oh yes. That's just around the corner. Oh, I'm so excited for that. Yeah, perfect. That gives us 12. We can watch it 12 nights in a row before we have to start Disney Plus. Perfect. Awesome.
Whatever. Excited for that. Yeah, that's fair.
Awesome. But, well, I don't know if I get, because I also got BoJack coming right around then, too. We got half a season. Dude, it's almost over, Tyler. This is the last season.
Almost over.
A lot of people are upset about it, but I mean, I feel like this is right. It's fine. I wouldn't have even been surprised if they closed it at the end of last season at 5. That was a good close. Spoilers for those who haven't seen it. She takes him to rehab. Like, you could have left it there and I would have been comfortable with it. I don't know. BoJack's fantastic. But all right, let's get us some final thoughts going, guys. Adam, you want to start us here? A little final thought for us?
Yeah, little final thought. So we didn't talk about it, but Netflix season 3 of Big Mouth. Super great show. I don't know if you guys have watched Big Mouth. Very, very, very funny. Definitely watch that. And then I have been back into Destiny. So Destiny 2 Shadowkeep was delayed from what should have been a September release all the way back to the beginning of October. So it's been going for about 2 solid weeks now. Very good as well. They've updated a lot of systems. So if you liked Destiny 1 a lot and fell off in Destiny 2, check out Destiny 2 Shadowkeep. Worth the money. Quite good.
All right. Tyler, what you got for us?
It's been a busy few weeks for me, but I took some time off. I just literally got back an hour ago from my biannual vacation to Gamers Ranch with all my friends. So I spent the last 3 or 4 days.
I feel like this is happening more than twice a year, Adam. Wouldn't you say so? Like, this
it's only the third.
He goes more than twice a year, but his friends, right?
This is only the third time I've been. So we went this year, we went just now. We went earlier this year, and then we went late last year. That's
okay.
Three times.
Okay.
Anyway, we just got back, so I just spent the last 3 or 4 days playing tons of board games, hanging out on the lake. That's all I've really been doing. I played a lot of board games in the last 72 to 96 hours, and did some D&D. Did a couple D&D one shots. That was fun.
There we go. So a lot of gaming from you guys. Hey, Peaky Blinders season 5. It's on Netflix now. That show is so good. How is that show not get like all the awards for like cinematography, especially like just the setting up of it and everything? It's beautiful. It's absolutely wonderful. Gosh, the cast is incredible. This season's starting really good too. So if you like Peaky Blinders, I didn't even see it anywhere. I don't remember seeing a trailer or anything. Season 5 just popped up on you. And again, if you're a fan of some of those Netflix series, be on lookout because they're announcing everything right now and they're dropping teasers and whatever because they're just holding on for dear life as of next month, especially with, once again, Disney. If you Google search it out there, you can find it. You can still get Disney Plus for up to 3 years for about $5-6 a month if you find the right codes. They have codes floating out there for, I got it because I have the Disney Visa bank card. So they sent me a little thing. If you're a Disney something else member, if you're a Disneyland person also that has a thing, like anybody who's ever associated anything with Disney is getting these codes to sign up for it. Disney's not even worried about making money. They just want to take all the subscribers. They just want all of these subscribers. So go out there and sign up for 3 years. Like I signed up for 3 years and don't have to pay a dime again for 3 years. Why not? Like it was easy. No brainer. Check it out. While you're checking stuff out, the Project Nerd Podcast Network is here, guys. We talk about it often, but let me get you some good details on what's happening right now with the Project Nerd Podcast Network. Obviously, right here on this feed. So majority of you listen to us through our podcast feed. Pick us up on Apple, Google, Stitcher, wherever else you find us. And we appreciate it all as always. But on this feed, obviously, we've got I'm Not Famous, which we dropped a new episode last week, which was pretty good. And then we also have Diving Deep, which we'll have a new episode of this week. And of course, all of our interviews, which Adam did a fantastic interview a couple weeks ago with Brian Polito in his new comic book. And then just this week, Tyler did the interview with Crafty Games out back at Gen Con. So those are our last two interviews also on the feed. And our tabletop gaming podcast, we just got a bunch of new free game screeners to test them out and tell you how they are. Meeple Skills, all right here on this feed. The G Spot, of course, on their new feed. G is for geek. Sarah Cosmama and DK do a fantastic job there, and they're starting to cover some big topics too. So we might get some pushback on from some people. Always love controversy. And of course, we also have the other podcast, Sexy Nerd Science, Redults, High Five, and the Weekly Geekly. But starting this week, so you're going to be hearing us on Tuesday. Head to projectnerd.com. Go back to the Monday podcast. It's called Curdle Holler. So this is our first podcast like this to where it's a completely like radio comedy series style to where it's all acted out. It's not talking about topics, topless or anything. It's just a completely acted out thing about two people who find themselves in, I guess, hell or somewhere in the afterlife and help with some spooky investigations. Pretty funny, pretty good. So check that out. That's now part of us. Dude Sweet is coming over. So if you're a wrestling fan, his name is Blaxican Thunder. Him and his pal have a good podcast going, and they've talked about some pretty cool two things on some of their earlier episodes. So they're heading on over the network as well as we just got so much more happening. Just obviously, again, Project Nerd Podcast Network, this feed, but also head over to projectnerd.com. Head on the click on the podcast buttons. You can check out all our feeds. And as always, go check out PN Skate. We got a bunch of new fall products coming to you. So new shirts, new hoodies. Some pretty awesome looking hoodies happening right now. PN Skate over at Project Nerd. It's on the top, or you can head on over to pnskate.com, you can't head to pnskate.com. I lied. I don't have that URL. I should go buy it. Anyways, projectnerd.com/pn-skate. So, all right, that's it. That's plugging all of our stuff going on. Make sure you also check out Geek Garage, who's been a wonderful sponsor for the Nerdcast. They help things like this happen. this feed right here is courtesy of them. So again, Geek Garage at geek-garage.com. Go check them out. Other than that, episode 210 next week, it'll be me with some people from Tallgrass Film Festival, guys. And then the week after that, we should be back in studio again. I think we're good in a couple weeks. So till then, catch you next time.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.